Hello and welcome to WNHH Radio's Dateline New Haven. I'm your host, Paul Bass, inviting you to join me on an exploration of what makes the Elm City tick. It's One City Thursday, everyone, what's now becoming a weekly visit with the people who really make New Haven work behind the scenes at the neighborhood level and who are in the process of ramping it up, i.e. the people this radio station was created to have on the air. Kim Harris, chair of the New Hallville management team, is with us as usual. Kim is organizing a summer-long campaign called One City. She's joining with the chairs of all 12 neighborhood management teams to plan 60 days of family-friendly events in each neighborhood, plus a battery of local small business visits. Joining us as well today are Lisa Malone, who chairs the East Shore management team, Caroline Smith, and Astrid Farwell from the downtown Wooster Square management team. Welcome, everyone. So nice to see you all.
Good to see you.
It's great
for those of you who are back. It's always great to have you. And Lisa, it's great to have you the first time. So what we've been doing each week, Kim's been bringing folks in, and it's been really fun and important what you guys are up to hearing at the grassroots level. What we do is first we talk about what the issues are in each of your neighborhoods briefly these days, the issues you're dealing with your management teams. Then we go back to the One City planning for the summer and beyond and what you have specifically planned for One City. Sound like a deal? We have like agreement on that? All right. So I want to start out with Lisa. You're on the East Shore management team. That's divided into two. So we have 10 police districts in the state, and management teams were created as part of community policing in the early 90s. They grew to something much bigger, which is sort of the engines of local democracy. But two of those districts are so broad, they were divided up into two management teams. One of them is New Hallville and East Rock, Cedar Hill, which have two separate. And then on the East Shore, that's the huge one, I think. You have yours, I believe, is Morris Cove and the Annex.
East Shore.
That's East Shore is Morris Cove and the Annex. And then that district that has Bishop Woods,
Quinnipiac
Meadows.
East.
Yeah, they all have Quinnipiac East. So, Lisa, the big issue in East Shore we've been reading about, at least, is Tweed New Haven Airport.
Absolutely.
You guys had what either was a scare from some of your perspectives or a lost opportunity from the downtown city perspective, which was whether the state would pass a bill to allow the runway tree to be paved another 1,000 feet so that they could try to lure air service that we would allegedly get to D.C., Florida, and Chicago. The state legislature had a fight coming down to the end. As usual, we had New Haven's business leaders and politicians who don't represent the East Shore on one side and the most vocal neighbors in the neighborhood and politicians outside on the other side, and it did not pass, but it's coming back next year. How'd you feel about the whole thing?
I have to say that I'm on the fence because I think the area is completely divided in half. I think there's probably half of the residents that are adamantly against it and have formed a group to really fight against it. And then the other half that is for it is kind of quiet. I don't think they're saying as much. They're not as vocal.
It's kind of like when there are revolutions. The people who feel the most at stake are sort of the ones you hear the most.
Exactly.
And it is a democracy. You're supposed to speak up if you're the most motivated. But that's interesting what you say, Lisa. So from your perspective as someone who tries to organized for the whole neighborhood, you see the neighborhood as half and half because it sure doesn't look that way in public.
I know.
And Marty Looney, the state senator, surely doesn't think that way. Although maybe what the politicians think is it's not about a poll of what your neighbors think. It's about the people who are motivated on an issue.
I believe that's probably the case.
And Eric Mastriano, as usual, says, good morning, ladies. Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you. Joyce Farrell Catalano, good morning. Thanks for joining us, folks. So Lisa, where do you stand on this?
I have to say, for all the environmental issues that the group against has brought up, they have worked on this vehemently. Like, they've really, really put their time and effort into it. And they do have valid reasons why not to do it. It, of course, is the traffic flow that's going to come through the streets. It's the air pollution. You know, on the topics, I have to say that personally, I haven't done the research myself, but I certainly would like to go in my backyard and fly somewhere without having to stop here and there and everywhere.
I would love to walk to the airport.
Right. I would love it. But, you know, there are quality of life issues at stake. So depending on if these new jets come in and they're, you know, green energy.
Well, they're not going to be green, but they're going to be quieter than they used to be.
Quieter and you know, what the pollution emits out, not as bad as what it was years past. You know, I don't know. Like I said, I would like to see planes coming going easier, but yet if it really is not going to be, you know, environmentally safe and sound.
When did you move in, Lisa, in the East Shore?
About 25 years ago.
You live in the Cove?
Yes.
Well, you know, people don't live in the Cove. Say, didn't you folks know there was an airport? In fact, you used to have more commercial jet service coming out of there.
Correct.
So what's your feeling about that?
Well, I did move there knowing there was an airport, and I did move there thinking, you know, this would be cool that I could, take a flight out.
So it was a plus to you.
I thought it was when I moved in.
And then we got Kim from New Hallville, Anstris from Wooster Square, and Caroline from downtown. How does the issue look to you? I'm guessing. You never tell me what you think, Anstris. I'm going to make a guess and tell me if you're right, if I'm right. I think you're where I am.
Which is?
You're not totally convinced by the claims made by either side. The business community has always
said. How did you guess that?
I actually just guessed it. You've never said it. But you and I kind of watch these things for a long time. And whenever someone makes a statement, you're more skeptical than I am because you're smarter. But on this one, I've always said, well, the business community always says we would definitely get all these airlines. And then they get the airlines and they last 5 minutes and the whole industry's changing and these small airports are going out of business. But then Tony Harp says, but it's cyclical and you want to seize. And I do see the arguments for it for sure. Yeah. And on the neighbor side, I believe in neighbor democracy. I believe they know what they're moving into. I think it's just complicated. I don't think the world ends for the neighborhood if it comes, and I don't think that we become Metropolis Gotham City if it's there. Is that your take?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, good.
I really do feel that...
Shortest quote in the history of Mrs.
Farwell. As she said, the environmental issues are for real. We know we have climate change, sea level rise.
And you know more about environment than I do, Anstris. Some people say air travel is better than having everyone take cars. Other people say that's bogus.
It depends on the distance traveled.
Okay.
Train is still better. You know, I would like to see more investment in high-speed rail. You know, I think that would be a better investment.
Yeah, we're just not in Europe. I mean, everyone knows that's smart, and they're just not going to do it, right?
No. We have to focus. Okay. And we need to get the business community to really focus on that.
I mean, business community, I can think of no other issue that which the business community sounds like their Mother Teresa or like Gandhi on the march. I mean, this is like the jihad for them.
I think that, you know,
they
we
really
hear
believe
that
it. They really believe this is everything.
A lot of small airports all across the country are actually scaling back. And Bradley is actually considered a small airport. So this is an extremely small airport.
Can we all agree
And where are we going to put the subsidies? Do we put it into trains, buses? You know, where do you get the biggest
bang? Speaking of trains and buses, in general, obviously, that's a rhetorical question. Yeah. We all think the bus and train service is terrible. It's got to be good.
Yeah.
But especially on this issue, could there be one thing we all agree on, that it is totally nonsensical that it's not easy to get to Bradley? Why can't you take the train to Bradley from New Haven?
Absolutely.
Our reporter, Marquise, remember her getting stranded overnight because a plane wasn't flying out and the buses can't take anywhere and it takes you like 5 hours? It's
absolutely
crazy.
That was a real failure not to get the train in its very first step to go to Bradley.
You mean the new service?
Yes.
And even when you're there, there's another mile, a couple miles you got to go there.
Right.
So Caroline, now you're sort of in the new business community, right? You have a nonprofit that's promoting, with the state's help, new enterprises. You're in the room with every discussion that matters in New Haven about the future of our business community. What's your take of someone with a fresh perspective still in your 20s? You don't have this whole history of these fights.
Yeah, I definitely don't. And I still feel like I'm learning a lot. I mean, I'm learning a lot right now.
Yeah, please get closer.
Yeah, I think both of your all's perspectives really, really resonate, which is that everyone's right and also everyone's just a little bit wrong.
Yeah, I've always felt that way. And
I think the biggest thing I've seen is that it's been just exciting to see. I mean, I went to that Aldermanic Chamber meeting where there were people from the business leaders to residents all in the same room together. And no matter what, I think that's valuable. I think the fact that
for people caring, they show up.
Exactly. For people caring, showing up, and being in the same spaces together and disagreeing. I don't think that's a bad thing.
It's a great thing, but you're still ducking the question. What would you do?
I think I'm intrigued in finding ways for Tweed to work better for us. I think that...
You like infrastructure and transportation and more options.
Yeah, I think I'd be interested in that. I think I'm interested in the conversations around Tweed. Now, I don't know a lot of the history, but I did feel like...
Sometimes it's good not to know the history. Your history is essential. You got to know history. But sometimes you look at something fresh. You haven't been like...
Right. So I guess as a fresh perspective, I did feel like the sort of decision-making around Tweed did feel very fast. And all of a sudden, it felt like a decision had to be made very fast.
And obviously, the city knew it was going to be hard to do. So they tried to sneak it into another bill that had nothing to do with it. And then when Martin Looney, who's the head of the state senate, but represents that district, has to live there, and get votes there. He says you better hold some meetings, so they quickly do some meetings together.
Interesting. I mean, I'd be interested in making sure that the tweet conversations don't stop because it didn't pass, but are continuing.
They're going to continue. Now, Kim Harris, you live in New Hallville. Well, here's what I usually hear in New Hallville, not from you, so I want to know what you think. I always hear like, well, we're worried about gunshots and people eating. I think the East Shore, they can worry about that. It's really not on our agenda. We don't fly out of tweet a lot. Is that what you hear or no?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Okay. So I did testify, and I think that this is one of those things that helps to make New Haven great. But it's kind of like the circular thing. It just can't be the tweet airport. We have to help to stop the gun violence. We have to get that tweet thing working. We have to get transportation to Hartford. It's everything working together so that we can be great again.
Are you talking about like one city?
Yeah, you got it. You got it.
What's that?
You got it. But here's the other thing, too, with it. I do think that we need to be transparent across the board. That would be something that would be most helpful.
And
to
when
everyone.
You're watching this from far, are you thinking, well, this feels a little sneaky?
I think that it needs to have more conversation.
All right, we have conversation from our listeners, Kim. Julia Gao says, I would like to see solar panels in the neighborhood without strings attached. I can't read the rest. Hopefully, maybe our station manager will pull that one up. Joyce Farrell Catalano says, bus stops need benches and covers with solar power to charge phones.
Good
and
idea.
And give light in the dark. Good idea, Joyce. Hey, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for
Paul, I
want
to mention one more thing, too. I like the convenience of flying out of tweet.
Me, too.
Oh,
I wish I could. I rarely fly, and I don't like to fly. But I would love to fly out of Tweed, but I also respect the neighbors. Like if I live in Westville, I'd say bring in the airport. Matter of fact, get rid of that. Well, I won't say that. Get rid of some of the facilities there, and maybe put the airport in there, and we'll take it. Yeah. Julia also writes it. Oh, there was more here. I moved to the Cove knowing there was an airport, hoping we would actually get more flights to D.C., Philly, and Chicago. And by the way, we did have flights to Chicago, and that's why Anderson and I were kind of skeptical. No neighbors stopped that; they just pulled out. Although I would have loved to have the flights. In 2005, I moved in January. Oh, in 2005, she came. I moved in January, and my maid of honor flew in. I walked to greet her. She walked to the airport to go back to Arkansas. Julia's in. We got to get Julia on the radio.
Yeah.
And then what we're talking about is one city. What's going on in our neighborhoods? Today, we're speaking with Kim Harris from New Hallville and the citywide force behind this great new effort. And today we're also focusing on East Shore, Wooster Square, and downtown. Before, Lisa, we moved to the other neighborhoods. I quickly want to mention some other stuff. You've been active in some great stuff, Lisa, in Wooster Square. You're starting a new historic trail, right? What's that all about?
Yes. The city had a $10,000 grant that was given to each management team to do something within the community. So we in the East Shore have a ton of history and history that I've been—
Revolutionary War stuff.
Yeah, but things that I hear stories of that I've been there 25 years and I still hear stories that I never knew.
What's the latest one you learned?
The most intriguing one was there was I don't recall which war. I don't want to, you know, misspeak and say the wrong one. But there was a battle where the British were coming to invade New Haven. And when they got here, I guess it was a point where, I don't know if it was prohibition or alcohol was nowhere to be found. They had to hide it in the basements of houses. And I guess these soldiers all came and they found all of the alcohol and they drank all the alcohol all night. Mm-hmm. They got drunk. Mm-hmm. They couldn't have a war and they just packed up and left.
By the way, I think we have a call, which we didn't give out the number, but we got a call. Hi, you're on with Dateline New Haven.
Wow.
Hello? I guess we lost them. Sorry, you can call on back. But and you can keep the comments coming on Facebook. So historical trail, what's the stage of that, Lisa?
Well, we're at the point where we have to narrow down how many places we're going to highlight because it's an issue of putting signs throughout. So it'll be an actual trail that we can do a opening event of beginning in one location and go different places throughout the shore to highlight. We could do hundreds of them, but we'll literally probably wind up between 8 to 10, 8 to 12 locations.
Will this be by appointment, or you'll have an event where you show everyone you take them on the tour?
The goal is to do a grand opening and have an event. Elm City Cycling is also wanting to get involved. They want to do it cycle
so
tour as well.
Be there on 2 weeks.
So it's really starting to grow. We have some really, really knowledgeable people in the area that just have lists of places to highlight.
And then you guys don't just get started on something and forget about it. You go years and the stuff happens. You recently had the Fort Hill Pier finally built. Were you excited about that?
That is exciting.
You caught any fish yet?
I have not gone to fish yet, but I will attempt it because fishing in New Haven Harbor is a little tricky. There's not too many fish out there. But
and do you want to eat it when you catch it?
Not so much.
Okay. Yeah. And you also have a renovated senior center. We haven't given up on that senior center, yes. So that's looking pretty nice. And Julia writes, Julia's getting started. Party Morris House is a great resource for history. It's tied to the New Haven Museum. It's true. You renovated that house.
Yes.
New Haven Museum runs it. Joyce writes in, what's happening with Church One? She means Church South Project, what's going to be there across Union Station. The demolition's beginning. The interior demolition's underway. I think they got their permit to tear down all the buildings at the former Church South. Housing complex is 301 units. If they get the state money and the city and the person owned, the company that owns it now, North of Development, they want to build 900 to 1,000 units in its place, make it mixed income with the 300 subsidized apartments and then 700 market rate. And Julia says, would love to have a 21st century city free internet for all, more community farms. And Eric writes, for the New Hovel section, we need to build it up and modernize.
Amen. All right.
And what about Worcester Square? Now, why is it the Worcester Square downtown management team? Why aren't there two separate ones? Are you really one community?
I think we're all part of the same district.
Police district.
Well, it's the same police district. Is it odd running a, like you have your meetings in City Hall. It doesn't feel like you're out in a neighborhood, does it?
What do you think?
Well, it is based on the police district. And it's interesting until, in fact, just 2 days ago, all of the members of the board of the management team were from Worcester Square.
Oh, good. Because I know downtown plays a big role. Yeah, does it kind of bring people together?
Our chairman, Carolyn, that works downtown. But we now are going to finally have someone that actually lives downtown.
Yeah, because that's the fast
growing. But it actually, you know, they're very close to each other. There's a lot of districts.
And
if
overlap.
You look at, let's say,
Cedar
Church
Hill
Street
and Upper
South
Street
is
South.
Actually part of
the Hill.
The South Hill District. And that
which
is
huge. Which I insist is the East Hill. But
sprawling district that's long wharf, yeah. City Point and
that's
Kimberly
a good point.
Avenue.
So neighborhoods can have common interests.
This is
right
actually
next to each
pretty
other,
tight.
Like the end.
This is pretty.
And
but
one example would be the housing you folks have been involved in weighing in on that's being proposed for the middle of your two neighbors that connect them. So there are two major projects on the boards. They've been delayed, and we don't have to get into that today. We can if you want. For lots of housing for new communities on largely unused, not completely unused land around Union Street, Olive Street, and Chaplin. If those get built, don't you think that will really bridge downtown and Worcester Square? You kind of live in Worcester Square, but you also kind of live in downtown. You go to Cafe Nine, but you don't think so. What do you think?
I think that the essence of their plans is it's wraparound buildings around parking. There won't be a lot of pedestrian activity.
There is a dog park.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that gets them out of the house and across the street.
Yeah. And that side of the
so you're saying it's too geared to the car that they won't be part of the city. It's also geared
and,
to the train station.
Any more than 360 State.
Ooh.
Look at all the building. Look at all the businesses that have closed on Lower Chapel. Remember they said 500 new residents, Chapel Street is going to become alive.
That's a good point.
Absolutely. You have to have good urbanism if you're going to
does
support
does that mean building
mixed
to scale?
Use.
Does it mean not going around the car?
It means not building to accommodate large volumes of parked cars.
Right, and that's
parked cars also well lead to affordability issues because it's
you
so
have to pay
expensive
to pay
for
now,
the
now,
space.
Now, there are a lot of people 360 who do not own cars. They take the train to jobs in Fairfield County or New York or Hartford. They go to the train station right across the street. Is that part of the challenge that maybe people live more atomized existence now or not geographically?
I think that definitely is. But there's even in Worcester Square, there's plenty of people that commute all over. But there's the park itself works as a giant collector. So even if people are going all over the place, they come back at the end of the day and bring their kids or their dogs to the park.
Whereas if they're coming to park in the middle of the building at 360, they're going to a place that now costs more to rent and they aren't interacting with the city when they
right,
get there.
Right.
Interesting point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, Caroline, where do you live in downtown or Worcester Square?
I live in East Rock, actually,
East Rock.
But I work in downtown. I work at the Grove. And I think an adjacent issue to what we're talking about now is at our last e-board meeting, we tried to identify two main priorities for this upcoming year. One was the stretch of Grand Avenue that's in our district.
And that's always called Worcester Square. And it's on maps as Worcester Square.
Right.
I really feel like Worcester Square has three parts. You have the other side of I-91, which was the industrial area when it was divided in half, where the old factories are. And you have that Grand Avenue corridor that were traditionally the old kind of small shops, you know.
Yeah.
Now it's kind of social services and some shops. And then you have the Farnham Courts was being rebuilt. and sort of what's being called the Mill River District, right? The other side of anyone's being called Mill River on both sides of the river. Yeah.
And I think there's a desire, especially across the way, across the sort of straddling Grand Avenue, for those two parts of Worcester Square to have more connectivity.
And there are those sort of cool streets in between Grand Avenue and Worcester Square where people live, and you can't, and they're not geared to the car, because the one-way thing doesn't work. Yeah. It's really fun to walk around that and discover those places. And you see these neat communities of people living there, those group houses that are sort of almost by 91 there, where you see a lot of young people living. And on the other side of Grand Avenue, I didn't know this, but you guys probably do, there's a building that really doesn't have any face that looks like people are living there, behind City Seed, where they're doing a community cleanup, where the Department Works brought all these rakes. And all these people started coming out who are like retirees, professionals, had all moved there by choice from places like New York and Litchfield County to retire so they could walk to the Yale Rep and the art galleries. And I was just blown away. And I realized sort of what the potential for a real mixed, vibrant neighborhood there is.
Are you talking about Lyon Street specifically, that area?
Or right maybe.
That was my first point, but not the new building I was talking about, on Grand behind City Street.
Yes.
It's like a painted wall, a sort of a mini mural. Yeah. You'd never know that's a whole thriving apartment complex. So your goal is to do more with Grand Avenue. It is still beat. It's still shabby.
And then in general, more traffic calming in the downtown Worcester Square area. So
well,
specifically,
we had the fatal collision on Olive Street.
100%. More walkability, more bikeability, specifically Olive Street, State Street, and the connection between the two.
And what about slumlords? I know that, I don't know if this is an issue. I know people losing their houses in the East Shore. We were in Morris Cove two Saturdays ago when there were two foreclosures next door to each other. On the same block, or no, one house apart at the same time. Are you seeing a lot of that, Lisa?
It's it seems like a lot of the questions for LCI when we're there
Livable
are...
Livable City Initiative, which is the city's anti-blight agency.
Correct. And it seems a lot of questions are the vacant houses are not being taken care of. Who actually owns the house, if it's bank-owned, if it's in between,
it's hard to find, because sometimes the banks don't want to foreclose because then they're responsible. But then the city doesn't know whom or the neighbors. So on Grand Avenue, they actually had a case like that, but they found the guy, this guy, Edward Rubini. He wasn't hiding behind one of those like mortgage registration services. And he's been fined $99 a day for the trash behind 873-887 Grand. Have you been on top of that one with the management team? Or?
The LCI is doing excellent work on Grand Avenue. You know, one of the interesting things about Grand Avenue is that in Worcester Square's heyday as a giant community where you could walk to work at the various factories, multiple churches, very densely settled, Grand Avenue was actually the spine of the whole neighborhood.
Ooh.
It really was.
I know you had a lot of Jewish merchants there.
The center wasn't the park. The center wasn't Worcester Street. It was Grand Avenue. And so now, exactly as you say, Lyon, Williams Street, Jocelyn Square, Farnham Court area.
I was always surprised
they've all been
Jocelyn
divided.
Square,
So we're trying to work on a plan to bring everything back into a stronger functional relationship.
Justice Square is a cool neighborhood.
It is.
So Joyce is writing in again. I live in the Hill area close to the station to be near downtown at a more reasonable rent. So she's saying you could kind of be part of the downtown community, but you kind of got to rent over by Liberty Street and places like that maybe, which is kind of interesting. And that's all going to be coming up with the affordability. Also on Grand Avenue, there's been a question about whether how people feel about the Department of Corrections putting a parole office right in there. Because you kind of have the homeless shelter. You got the shuttered, what used to be a factory. You still have that great smell from, what is that, a bagel factory still? Or and yeah, Ferraro's everyone goes to. What do you think about the parole office? I mean, why not have it near Farnham Court where people can be close to the services?
That's assuming that people in Farnham Court use the services.
Well,
let's
I think there are a lot
that.
Of people. We have what, 20 people a week coming out of jail. And a lot of them
come,
families that are in public housing. That doesn't mean everybody's a higher rate of criminal in public housing. It means a lot of people are poor and don't have places to live and they have families they go back to.
Well, you know, I think that this is just an absolute tragedy. The state gave New Haven a grant to do the Mill River Project. And a big part of that idea was that Farnham Court actually really shouldn't be where it is adjacent to a highway when you have young children that are going to be breathing
crazy.
In car exhaust.
That's crazy. And they build those barriers. So I don't know if those help or not.
Yeah, we worked on that to get the barriers up, the sound barriers. But this was one of those tragic choices. As we know, there isn't much land. So you were going to rebuild on site. But they went to a great effort to bring the buildings close to the street, to make them more urban.
Yeah, it does look nicer, doesn't it?
All of that giant state and federal investment in Farnham Court to make it more livable and better. And it's all part of a plan for that section of Grand Avenue to be rezoned so that the warehouse buildings over time that are right there would be on more valuable land that people could either stay or they could sell. And what the city would like to see, there would be 3 to 5 story buildings that would be mixed use with more people.
Which sounds like Answers is preferred.
Exactly. Jacob's idea. Because that way people in Farnham Court, they don't walk out and just see a grocery store and things unrelated to them. They look across and they see their neighbors. That having on each side of the street similar functions.
And how do you connect them back to Jocelyn Square, like in the old days where that was sort of an extension of Worcester Square? And that's that place around the park, Jocelyn Square Park, by Humphrey Street and East Street, Walnut.
Well, you need more people that are going to be on the street and walking. So this is the issue. This is my issue with the parole issue.
Okay.
They did not come to the management team in advance. The city gave them 3 locations, one actually right nearby. If you went straight down Hamilton, is a building that has other state offices just as close to Worcester Square. This wasn't about keeping it away from Worcester Square, but to allow the whole effort to put Farnham Court in a really good situation.
Right, and make Grand Avenue more of a commercial residential neighborhood, not
so
a
now
office
this
neighborhood.
Prime piece of land is going to be tied up for 10 years. What is a child's future? It looks out. Child looks out the window and sees 20 police cars, or does the child see my neighbors that I also see at Ferraro's?
Oh, and the neighbors we're talking to on Dateline New Haven are from Worcester Square, East Shore, and downtown in New Hallville. We're talking about one city and what's going on with the management teams with Kim Harris, Lisa Malone, Caroline Smith, and Astrid Farwell. Meanwhile, a block away from that, there's been a lot of discussion about the Clock Factory. Yep. Where there's an old factory, historic. They're hoping it doesn't get torn down, but it's going to cost more than $1 million to remediate the environmental pollution. They got state money to do that. They got someone who wants to build apartments for affordable housing with an eye toward artists. But they want, I think it's a 17-year tax break where their taxes don't go up for 17 years. And people say, on the one hand, people are saying, how can you do that when our taxes are going up? And the city says, well, your taxes can go up the same or not, whether or not that place is built. But if it's not built, we're losing our chance to remediate it and get new housing in an area people aren't in. What's your take, Caroline? What have you heard from that?
I mean, Answers is clearly the expert on a lot of these sort of developments and projects happening. I think it sounds exciting. I mean, I think it sounds sort of in line with some of the things that we're interested in seeing in the neighborhood. I feel like I don't know as much about the details.
But what's been interesting
it.
Is the deliberative process has been different from in other cases. They had a really civil, long public meeting with developers, said, okay, let's work on that. Here's what I could do to make it work and still have it be affordable housing. Because there's competing imperatives in the city. We want to keep taxes down. We want to build the tax base. We also want to have affordable housing, which is sometimes more expensive to build. I don't totally understand that. Mm-hmm. How about you, Kim or Lisa? Do you have any thoughts during this whole discussion about the clock tower?
I like to see things rebuilt and bring people into the city. Affordable housing is something that New Haven, of course, has to maintain and keep up with. I've been hearing a lot of outside people that are looking to relocate to New Haven from other cities. And quite frankly, they're all saying, honestly, I can't afford it. They want to move downtown to be able to walk and they want to do things. And I've been hearing a lot of, you know, a lot of the new places are so expensive.
Well, Grand Avenue could kind of be the answer to that, maybe. Well, Ansys, what do you think about the Clock Factory?
Right.
Yeah, I think it's an absolutely excellent project. Now, that doesn't, I haven't looked at the pro forma. The questions about should it be 17 years, 12 years, 10 years.
That's funny.
That's
the first time in history I looked at a pro forma and you didn't. It's usually the other way around.
Well, because one thing, it isn't, I wouldn't say that is my area of expertise. So I'm going to
anyway, they're saying that doesn't have to be the 17 years. They just have to be able to, they have to do it quick because there are all sorts of HUD changes and tax changes going to drive up the cost otherwise. Yeah. But they're trying to find a way to,
I think it's going to
make like 8 years.
I think it's going to be negotiated and I think it's going to be a fantastic project. I really do look at it as one of the things that also supports the gigantic investment we've made in Farnham Court to rebuild it right down the street.
You have such a nice vision of Grand Avenue there. You and Caroline are talking about. That's maybe the next big challenge. Joyce Farrell is weighing in. We need more local city buses that circle around New Haven, just as the Yale shuttles do. The green bus only goes downtown to the green. Other cities like Norwalk have buses that circle loop through the city in New Haven. We have to connect downtown if the bus you are on doesn't pass through in the direction you're going. That gets to the issue of our roots are based on 1950s model where people are going and when. And it's been years now. There's been the state mobility study, and we think we're still a year away. And they came up with ideas about redo the roots. What that gets me is that, yes, you do have to look at things comprehensively. But if we had a State Department of Transportation that actually cared about buses, would it really take 4 years to get GPS devices on buses that still don't work? To tell you when they're coming, when an 18-year-old kid could have put them on for $400. Would we really be waiting 4 years on a study that keeps going back and redrawn when they just know there are certain things they could do with certain routes? People are riding more at different hours and they can't get the jobs, you know, sort of blue-collar or pink-collar jobs on I-91, off I-91, if they're working on the weekend at night. I don't know. Any thoughts on that?
Proof is in the pudding.
Okay. Downtown, Caroline, there's a block that has sort of not been revived as much as some others, which goes from State, Court, Orange, Elm. Everything around it's building up fast. And there's a building that had a social service agency that moved called The Connection that now one of the big developers in town, Feldman, bought. They're going to move New Haven Legal Assistance in. They're going to make it into office building, cross from Hall of Records, and really make it bigger. They're going to convert the old, is it called the English building at State and Court, into apartments upstairs. And meanwhile, there are all these storefronts around that just can't make a go of it. Like, three stores have closed in just the last few months, including a Peruvian restaurant. What is it about that block, and what do you think it'll take to make that?
Well, what it makes me think about is that, so I help organize this thing called Bike Month, which is a month-long celebration of biking culture that happens in May. We've paid special attention to kind of that area around Orange Street, specifically with some of our open streets events where we close down the street to various activity. And I think one of the fundamental beliefs of open streets is that when you close down a street, make it more walkable, more bikeable, it provides economic vitality for the businesses on that stretch. And so, you know, a big vision, I remember this is reported on Cycle Fix, is what if we closed down a portion of Orange Street or a large portion of Orange Street and made it more of a walkable kind of pathway, kind of the same thing that Yale's doing in front of Sterling Library on High Street. Like, imagine what
the
that
street,
could look
not
like.
Street, open the public, not open the public street that Yale owns,
100%.
Doesn't own.
Yeah. I mean, it makes me think about kind of like the On9 events that happened on that stretch of Orange Street in
between
Chapel.
So would this be
permanent?
Which part of Orange would you close permanently?
I mean,
I think
it would be, if I could, I think it would be from Crown Street to Elm.
Ooh.
That stretch.
I always wondered why we didn't want to have like all of sort of the radius of downtown closed off to cars and trucks. So you're saying Crown Street to Elm.
I guess what I would say is that based on
but
just a couple of
But you would let them cross
events,
Orange, right, for Chapel.
I think based on a couple of the events that we've been able to do in the past few years, it's produced really, really exciting results. People from all different parts of the neighborhood have been able to come out for those in a way that they hadn't been able to
any
before.
Any other thoughts, Kim? What do you think about that, closing off downtown streets like that? Or Lisa, any thoughts, answers?
I actually think it's a great idea because
you work there, so you wouldn't be able to park as close.
Well, I don't park close anyway because there's no parking. And what parking is there is crazy expensive. So, you know, I actually park on the corner of Chapel and Olive. So it's a bit of a walk, and I think a lot of the businesses don't make it because there's not a lot of walking traffic. People park
That's
outside,
so
they come
so what
to
I'm
work,
hearing
they leave.
Is that the way to kind of revive this moribund but centrally located promising district is just boot the cars. What do you think, Kim? You come in from New Hallville to downtown?
Let me get the mic here. Yes. I love the idea. I really do, because it's new, it's fresh, it's vibrant, and it pushes us into this futuristic thing of where we should probably be anyway, because I just kind of remember, like, just all of what used to be, and I see all the changing tides happening downtown and East Shore. New Hallville is going to have some of that. And that person who said, let's modernize New Hallville, email me. Let's talk about that.
What's the email address?
NewHallvilleMT@gmail.com.
MT like management team. No
Absolutely.
Periods. NewHallvilleMT@gmail.com.
I love this whole gathering, Paul, because I learned so much and I see the inner workings of what's happening.
I love the way you're pulling neighbors together. So Caroline's talking about bike. Caroline has been one of the leaders of the grassroots bike revolution in New Haven. Has changed the face of our city, gotten more people on two wheels, gotten our air cleaner. She was in New Hallville, right? A week or two ago. You've started Bike Month, which is an event you do every month in neighborhoods. What happened in New Hallville?
Oh, it's fantastic. So we partnered with the King Robinson School, Regina Wicks, and Arthur Edwards from the youth department. Fantastic pair of organizers. And they organized a really simple, fun event on Ivy Street and Butler Street. We had Mike Steadley, a pro BMX biker who's a local performer, come and perform. And, you know, we saw him there as a role model for a lot of the kids who BMX bike there. Yes. We had free helmet giveaways. We had tons of amazing volunteers from New Haven Promise and Squash Haven. It was just a fantastic, fun event that we hope.
What was the goal?
The main goal was twofold. One is that one reason why we close down streets is because we want people to feel like you have the power to change what your street looks like, even if it's just for a day. And if someone feels like they can change what their street looks like, even just for a day, how does that have a ripple effect and how they feel like they could change it permanently? And so that's one of the main goals, is just like close down a street for a day and see what happens. And then two, obviously just fun. What happens when you have a lot of people come together, maybe people from multiple different neighborhoods, to celebrate the unique aspects of what that neighborhood has to offer?
Kim, what did you think? Were you there?
I wasn't there, but the feedback was wonderful. It was wonderful. And, you know, kudos to Caroline. Kudos to everything that's happening. And kudos to my alder, Delphine yes. Clyburn, because yes. she fought so hard for the bike share program.
And
to
I wanted to bring that
New
up.
Halva.
So that's another example of New Halva. We don't normally think African American neighborhood in the north end of town. We don't often think of them as the bike constituency in town. We think of like white hipsters downtown. Let's just call it what it is. Okay. So we had that constituency got us a bike share program like New York's, where we have stations around town where you could pick up a bike with a membership fee and just ride it to another place and drop it off. New Halva was not going to be part of the first round of bike stations. And there was a reason for that. They wanted to stick close to the core and build it out. Like Westville doesn't have one. But Delphine fought, and it's part of New Halva. We have a new bike share program. And I wanted to ask Caroline how she feels that fits into your ongoing efforts to promote biking. And Kim, how that's working out in New Halva.
I think that it's really exciting, but I think it's sort of as exciting as people know about it and are excited about it. And if everyone, I think one of the major challenges with biking advocacy is exactly what you said. It's who belongs to biking advocacy, mm-hmm. right? It's often perceived that people who advocate for bikes are white, male-bodied people, when the people who bike to work every single day look like a whole variety of different people. So the question is, does everyone have a seat at the table of what the future of transportation looks like in the city? Not yet. And that's the main challenge. And I think that kind of trickles down to bike share as well. Who feels like bike share belongs to them? And if we can make sure that's as expansive as possible, then it'll be a positive program. But if we don't, then it probably won't.
And how is it going, Kim?
So I think that we have to it's not a flip of the mindset. It's introducing to the mindset. So we have to introduce biking in a new way, and it just can't be about the bike share. And I love what Doreen Abubakar has done over at the Learning Corridor. You know, she got the funding to get bikes and a storage to house them so that she
oh, really?
Can. Yes. I'm telling you, people are riding.
She's really
she's doing it. She's doing it in New Hall, but doesn't even live there, but she's an honorary.
Where does she live?
She's in West River.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Okay. So we love what's happening. We love the fact that we can come there and learn how to ride bikes and become excited about the bike education program. And okay, it's nice. It's happening. I can do this. Now I can pay a little bit of money to do it because I want to do it a little bit more. It's about being introduced to new concepts. And I think that New Hallville has been left out of that so much that we have to get used to that, because that is here. It's not coming. It's here. We're getting introduced to new concepts. We're getting introduced to new things. We're getting introduced to so many new perspectives on life. And I think it's taken a minute to just kind of matriculate into the mindset. And I love that people are just looking for new and fresh ideas, especially our younger generation that's coming up.
And Andy Cutler writes in. Thank you for listening, Andy. Huge Caroline Smith fan, part of Growing Legion. NHV is fortunate to have her in that city. Stayed after Yale. Great talent retention story. Thanks. Before we get on to one city summer activities, Ash just wanted to mention a downtown public hearing involving the App Foundation. The issues of we have people from all over the region, which some people would say is a good thing, coming for methadone treatment at the App Foundation, but causing concerns about what's happening on the green and in the hill at the clinic.
I think it's been a major focus of our management team really for a few years since the issue started to develop. And all kinds of people, the churches that serve people in crisis, everyone's being affected by this. And it's actually disrupting the bus study that there's businesses that say, that seem to think that if you get the bus stops off the green, which is exactly where you need them to get
we're
people.
We're talking about history. Remember that fight with the Omni?
Right, right.
I mean, you were there. Just, I wrote the articles. I remember the Old New Haven Advocate. Yeah, people in wheelchairs saying, where do we get the bus if we're on the green?
Yeah. So the problem needs to be addressed with. So Abby Roth, the alder for downtown, has been working really hard to get a public hearing about it because it really needs to be discussed in a very open public setting. The hearing still hasn't been scheduled, but I think it's important for people to know that there's very serious work and effort to get everyone to the table in a public setting.
All right. So now one city, that's the, before we finish out this session, the reason we're here every week, besides wanting to know what's gone in the neighborhoods, is that there's a new movement afoot that I consider one of the most exciting developments in our city in a long time, which is that Kim has brought together leaders of all 12 management teams in New Haven from every corner of the city. People who don't always end up in the same room are now only not only in the same room, but planning with an ambitious goal of 60 straight days of activities in each of their neighborhoods this summer, family-friendly, where they're going to let everyone know at Kim's Central website where you go every day. So this summer, you're just going to figure out, what am I going to do today? You're going to go to this website and decide what neighborhood you're going to, as well as what small businesses you're going to learn about and get a discount at. Lisa, what are some of your plans for one city? I know it begins June 28th and goes through August 28th.
Well, we have a lot in the East Shore because we have so many parks.
Lighthouse. That's true. What's not to do in the East Shore in the summer?
Right. And, you know, we're the water side because, of course, we're the only part of the city with the water other than Long Wharf. Lighthouse Point Park.
West River.
Oh, true. True. Well, not beachy. So Lighthouse Point Park. We have friends of most of our parks. We have friends of Lighthouse Point Park, which is an advocate for the park. They maintain it. They create
activities.
So are you
going to have events like a carousel event or something like that?
We do a, there's a butterfly garden there, mm-hmm. so kids go there and catch butterflies.
Oh, that's fun.
And there's a certain part of the season, which I think is the fall, so it'll be after this, that they can catch them, they tag them, and they let them go.
Are you going to have a history trail day?
I'm not sure if it's going to be ready, but we're hoping we're going to have at least the idea
at the,
of
at the
it.
Annex Club?
Right. We definitely have bocce courts. We have Friends of Fort Worcester. We have Black Rock Fort that has a lot of, they have tours every weekend. There's going to be some little, you know, gather children at the beach to catch the little fish and how to catch them with the nets and what to do with them. We have the chalk art activity that's going to happen in every district. And then we'll have a big chalk art downtown on the closing ceremonies.
Fun.
There's a lot.
And what else? Now, Kim has challenged each management team leader to identify five small businesses or institutions to offer discounts to people who find out about it through one city, so they'll come visit each part of town. You got a new Fire and Slice pizzeria. Is that one of them going to participate?
Yes. We don't have a whole lot of businesses where we are. We have Anthony's, which is huge. We have Amaranti's. We have the Fire and Slice.
You have the ice cream store, right? Is that still in business?
No, the ice cream store is gone. That was next to Fire and Slice. Fire and Slice now took over the two stores. The last pizza place took over the two of them. So there's not a lot of actual businesses. There's a realtor on the corner, you know, so I thought
it's a Wawa that became Sam's.
Krausers is there. They definitely will be a part of it and do something. So I'm thinking of some of their locations, like Krausers. We could use their parking lot for the chalk art. They, you know, there's
very
different
nice
things that we can do in each place. Party Morris House, I want to mention, they are big. They every week,
they do concerts.
They do concerts on Wednesday nights.
There you go.
They have a lot of family fun days. There's going to be a Morris Cove Day that's going to be opening soon.
And people dress up like from Revolutionary Era, right?
They really
show people
do
around. That's
they
fun.
They really do.
So much going on downtown. There's like 10 things a day, and let's not even begin with Arts and Ideas. But
yeah.
So what are some Worcester Square and downtown events that are going to be part of one city?
100%. I mean, you hit the nail on the head that I think our challenge is less about creation of events, but more kind of getting all the events together on the calendar and with the library.
But you got it in the 60 days. So you have those things with like 10 events on Sunday, but nothing on Monday.
Mm.
I think, Caroline, you're going to have to think about Monday.
Well, speaking of the gaps.
Because Kim does a mess.
Right.
I mean, she's going to know if there's something missing on Monday.
No, I think that's actually a great point, because I think the kinds of events that intrigue me the most that could fill in the gaps are ones that bring in downtown Worcester Square organizations that maybe don't participate as much. For example, one that's popping up in my head is Youth Continuum, which is a shelter on Grand. They recently formulated a youth advisory board that's taken a leadership role within the organization, which is incredible. And they've been doing more activities and events.
Monday could be Grand Avenue Day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You could do like one of those cleanups. You could time it for one of that.
Mm, yes.
All sorts of City C could do some kind of outdoor thing there. And
totally.
Kim, you know, she works at a preschool that's inviting everyone in the city for Sundays and books on Mondays, where they're going to have the librarian bring books that you're going to read with your kid and have an ice cream sundae.
Oh,
Any other thoughts?
Well, one of the very big projects that we're all working on together is something we're calling Chalk It Up.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be on the very last day of the 60 days. There's going to be a big convocation on the green of all of the different neighborhood groups.
Have fun.
And the idea is that we'll assign different areas of the pathways on the green to different neighborhoods, church organizations, anyone, and they do chalk drawings. And so we've been talking to people about donating chalk.
Is there a rain date, or are you going to have like tents?
We haven't thought about
that.
Well,
anyone
to mention that
the
Cherry Blossom Festival does not get time to when the Cherry Blossom come out because you can't control weather, and Art Walk is always going to be in a rainy day.
Right. Well, the end of August, we'll see. But this is the idea, is that we'll try to cover all of the pathways with brilliant color drawings and messages, and then get one of the TV stations or someone with a drone camera to photograph the crowd and the entirely colored.
Well, great things to have. So, Kim, before we go, give us a weekly update. What's the website everyone should be going to participate and find out more?
Okay, so go to the onecityinitiative.org, and Paul, yesterday we went live. We had 14 uploads, and seven came from downtown.
Excellent.
Six came from Newhallville. So
yeah, they don't mess, just so you know. Downtown, really.
I'm telling you.
Something's going to get done. It's going to get done.
Wonderful management team meeting, citywide management team meeting on Monday. It was great. Lots of ideas. And here, my beautiful music in the background, Paul, and I just want to say this. Yes. We wanted to do Hands Around the City, but Doug's kind of squashed it a little bit. So we're going to be doing Hands Around downtown, down on the green.
Is that where you form a human chain?
Yes.
When's that going to be?
The last day of our...
As you do the chalk art.
Yes.
And we're not going to allow it to rain.
We're going to pray it up. No rain.
Caroline, you're going to say no rain.
No rain.
There's no alternative if you say that.
No rain. And Paul, I just want to say in closing, you know, every week I learn so much about this city, which has, through unusual collaborations, we've become one city. And I'm just grateful for you and this opportunity to really, really make this thing happen.
Well, Kim Harris, thank you for starting it going and following it through along with our other guests today. Kim Harris, chair of the Newhallville management team, and the original driving force behind the One City Initiative is bringing us all together. And some of her partners in crime, we have Lisa Malone, the chair of the East Shore Management Team, and Answers Farwell and Caroline Smith from downtown Rooster Square. We're going to take it out with the Afro-Semitic Experience performing I Wish I Knew How It Would Feel to Be Free from the group CD A Plea for Peace. Now we know what it's like to be free. We just got to remember to book our flight. Book your flight with us all day and all night long here at WNHH, New Haven's home for community radio.